The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Blog Talk Radio.
All mechanical creation, all images of enslavement and imprisonment, all rage and anger of death and hell and the murder and the murderer's intent, the confusion of masculine and feminine roles, all portrayal of sexual perversion, including homosexuality and lesbianism, sympathy for Satan and the sorrows of Satan, association with the Nephilim and spacecraft, all perversions of the third eye through distorted and exaggerated images, perverted movements of the body and breakdancing and other forms of dancing. And we especially call for the judgment in this hour and the destroying of rock music directed specifically against children through the videos that were portrayed. And working specifically through these individuals, for whom we call for the judgment of the sacred fire in this hour before the throne of Almighty God. God.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the show. I'm Sherry Schreiner. Oh, a couple of things I want to get into tonight because I want to spend the night teaching on the book of Revelation and prophecy. And so I'm just going to jump in because there's so much information and probably take the next several weeks to cover everything in depth. And so maybe that's what I'll do. I'll just start that until we get interrupted by whatever. And I'm always waiting for whatever. And it does not come. And so I'll just teach until then. You know what? We're waiting for two different events to happen, and I've spent countless time and videos on those already. The leaving of the elect and the arrival of the Ashtar command. And so I want to talk a little bit about that and where we're at and how this all ties into Bible prophecy, because I know the church is all over the place. You know, I've been a student of Bible prophecy since I was 12 years old. You know, one of the first books I read was Late Great Planet Earth by Hal Lindsey. When I was 8 and 9 years old, if the preacher wasn't preaching the second coming of Christ, I wasn't listening. It's the only thing I wanted to hear about. And so I know it's been my calling since I was a small child to be a student of Bible prophecy. And it's taken years of sorting through all the different prophets and all the different books and chapters in the Bible. And it takes a lot of guidance. Sometimes you just have to throw out everything you think you know and realize you don't know anything and ask the Father to teach you himself, and you sit at his knee and let him teach it to you. And so that's where I was. I thought I knew everything. I was the standard protege of Hal Lindsey and Jack Van Impe and all the Masons. Of course, at the time, you don't realize who or what they are. And you don't realize what a stronghold the church is for Satan and how much false teachings are going on until you throw it all out and ask the Father to teach you himself. And so it took me 30 years to get there, but I got there. And so tonight I just want to tell you some of the things that I've learned over the years that the Father has taught me in regards to the last days and the end times. First of all, I know a lot of people out there under the Daniel timeline. And one of the things I had learned was that the Daniel timeline is a correlation of events that happened in the past that will happen again in our future. It's almost like history repeating itself. But all those events in Daniel have already happened. We're not waiting for them to happen. We're not waiting for Daniel chapter 9 or Daniel chapter 11 to happen. Those things have already happened. And this is a big reason. One of the things the Father always impressed on my spirit is that things are going to happen the way we don't expect them. Because when you get into a mindset that this event has to happen, then this event, and it's the one the churches hand out, the self-imposed prophecy gurus, the one they hand out, you have to throw all that out and realize those events are not going to happen. Now, this Daniel timeline is a correlation, but we're not waiting for anything in Daniel to specifically happen right now. We can look at events that are coming in Revelation and say, hey, this happened before with Antiochus Epiphanes and Daniel's back in the old days. Because all those events happened back in the old days. They've already been fulfilled. We're not waiting for them. They've already been fulfilled. Another thing is the third temple in Israel. Most Christians won't believe we're in the tribulation period because they're waiting for a physical rebuilding of a third temple in Israel. Folks, we are the temple of Israel. Our bodies are temples of living sacrifice. We are his temples. And the abomination of desolation when Satan stands in the holy place is when he puts his mark, his chip, his number, his name, his image, in around your right hand or forehead. We are his temple. We are the Father's temples. That's why he refers to us as candles and why he refers to the whole coming process of chip implanting candle snuffing. Because when you get that chip, it changes your DNA and the Father leaves you. His Holy Spirit will leave you. You become damned at that point. And all the light you had in you leaves. That's why they call it candle snuffing. And it's a big part of Satan's agenda that's coming. And it's going to surprise a lot of people because they're being distracted by false teachers who are saying that the mark of the beast is not a chip, when Lucifer's whole agenda is around this chip implant that's coming. Another thing is the war with Russia. People waiting for the war with Russia. That doesn't happen this side of the millennium. If you look at Revelation 21 and 22, the war of Gog and Magog, it happens after the 1,000-year millennial reign on Christ. It does not happen before that. It happens after. And so that aligns with Ezekiel. They're going to get me already. With Ezekiel 37 and 38. So once you start to realize what events you're not waiting for, you can start to realize what events you should be waiting for. Now, when you look at the Four Horsemen Apocalypse, the white and red horse are already riding. And I've spent the last umpteen years since 2005 warning about the New Age agenda, this Age of Aquarius that's coming upon us. And people want to laugh, and they don't want to have to see that this is true. They will when it's already here. But when you look at the Black Horseman and the Pale Horseman, and these are the two horsemen, the two beasts we are waiting for to arrive to Earth, these are the horsemen. The black one is an Islamic beast. The New Agers call him Maitreya, the world teacher. The Muslims call him their Imam, the 12th Imam. He is the black beast. He is the black horse rider. And the pale horseman beside him, the pale horse rider, is Sananda. And his name is, he goes by Asu Emmanuel Sananda. He also goes by the name Jesus. And this is the fake Jesus that's coming. And he is the pale horse rider and the one I spend so much time on. Because if you read the description of the Pale Horse Rider, you realize all the total destruction, the behemoth, the totality of it that's coming with this guy. Let me read Revelation 6:8. And I looked and behold a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was death, and hell followed with him. It's not just a horse, it's a rider. Every horse has a rider, and they have a particular purpose on this earth for folks in regards to the apocalypse, the end of days. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword and with hunger and with death and with the beasts of the earth. Now, this isn't beasts of the field. This is beasts of the earth. This is a different phraseology, different terminology. Think of beasts of the earth as fallen angels, as what we know as aliens. Those are the beasts of the earth. But the Father calls them beasts because to him that's what they are. And so when he arrives, power is given unto him and the black rider to take peace from the earth. They already have that from the red horse, the war horse. That was the war on terror. That was George Bush Jr. I was screaming that years ago because he was the one that was qualified to be the rider of that horse. And if you notice, George Bush Jr. or Sr. announced the formation of a new world order, it was George Bush Jr. who announced the war on terror, because the war on terror will never end. It's perpetual war. It's a perpetual war. So they have power over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword and with hunger and with death and with the beasts of the earth. Hell and death follow after him, the forces of hell. The forces of hell, folks. And you read on in the fifth seal. All the souls under the altar who have been slain wanting retaliation. And he says, hang on, just a little while longer. They're already candle snuffing in various parts of the world behind the scenes, folks. I mean, you look at these wars, Macedonia, Yugoslavia, years ago. Well, the United States was killing Christians and telling the media was telling us something else. It was a war against the Christians of Yugoslavia, just as the war in Syria is against the Christians. All of these wars, look at all the wars in Africa, George Soros funding Muslim armies and militias to go destroy and hunt down and kill Christians in Africa. They're killing whole villages of Christians in Africa. Their war has been against Christians for a long time. And when these New Age, what you want to call the New Age beasts, arrive, it's going to be no different. It's going to be on a higher level. Now, let me tell you a little bit about this whole Ashtar command, this whole New Age regime that's coming. Because Maitreya and Sananda are part of a group of 11. And this group of 11 is run by a man named Saint Germain. He is the grandfather of the Chinese elders. He's the political beast of the Ashtar command. He is the one who has designed and is the architect of the Age of Aquarius and the New World Order. He's designed both of them. He's going to take down the New World Order, and they're going to rise up the Age of Aquarius, the last eighth regime on Earth. Nothing is said about Saint Germain in the Christian circles, but the rest of the world knows who he is. And he is the invisible hands and controller behind the scenes of both religion and politics. And I told you, he is the G in the masonry symbol of the compass and square. He is the G. It's not God, it's Germain. Sananda is also Allah, which is crazy, but he plays dual roles in the background. He plays Allah and Jesus. And when he comes to Earth, he'll play Jesus. And so that's why if you're a decoder and you're in the Bible, the codes, and you see Allah and you see the Capricorn and you see this fake Jesus, they're all the same person. It's the Capricorn, the blue, huge metallic ship of his, it's all Sananda's. It's all the fake Jesus's. It's all his. He also goes by Allah. And so, yeah, he has his own spacecraft in the skies. Now, when they arrive to Earth, we call it the event. That's what they call it. That's their own terminology. They're calling their arrival to Earth the event because they want to have some huge hocus-pocus, blue-beam, holographic imagery of them arriving from the sky in some kind of heavenly, angelic manner. Okay, that's their charade, arriving in the sky as angelic hosts. All right. So most people want to know, when are the elect leaving? Because I've talked about three groups leaving Earth, three different raptures, and people scream about this, but let me give you the scripture and the facts before you scream, because yes, I know all the arguments you give me, but you fail to overlook other parts of scripture elsewhere. And trust me when I say, I know the elsewheres. Because I was not a rapture person myself. Grew up in it, never agreed with it, not the way the churches teach it. And it certainly isn't going to happen the way the churches teach it. Because as the churches would have you think, there's a 7-year tribulation period. And before the 7-year tribulation period, the church is leaving. All those who believe in Jesus the Savior, Yahushua ben David, are leaving. And that's not the way it happens, folks. That's not the way it's going to happen. And so as it doesn't happen, these people's jaws are going to be on the floor. They're going to be scrambling to figure out where we are in prophecy and what's going on because they're lost. They've spent all their time in false doctrines. And so this is why I want to spend some time on it, and I always have. If you look at Revelation 14, because this is where this should be, right somewhere before the sixth seal takes place. This is why I'm going to jump over here, because this happens before the sixth seal. The sixth seal is actually Coraline and also known as the Day of the Lord. It's when the Day of the Lord begins. And I've written articles on the Day of the Lord. That is in alignment with the sixth seal. And that's what everybody's waiting for. All right, so let me back up a little bit at this one event, because this is the one I've spent time on, teaching about the elect who are leaving. It starts off, and I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written in their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven as the voice of many waters, as the voice of a great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. And they sung, as it were, a new song before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders. And no man could learn that song but the 144,000, which were redeemed from the earth. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These are redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel preach unto them that dwell on the earth, to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, Fear God and give him glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of water. And so I want to back up a little bit. These are the first fruits redeemed from the earth. These are not the same people that are sealed in Revelation chapter 7 with the seventh seal. In Revelation chapter 7, you read about the 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes of Israel. These are not the same people. In fact, the 12,000 from each tribe of Israel, it goes on to show you the fruits, how they will stand and be given white robes and stand in the temple. But that's it. The chapter 7 shows you their fruits that they produce throughout the 1260 days that they prophesy on earth. These, they're like little evangelists, and they go out. Now let's back up, because there's always spiritual terms and relates to masking things. Okay, let's look at this. Virgins. Virgins is a spiritual term. Being not defiled with women, for they are virgins. In other words, these people weren't defiled with false doctrines and false apostasies and witchcrafts. They were found pure before the Lord. They were the first redeemed among men, being the first fruits. This is why, with this kind of terminology, that we look for this group to leave during the Feast of First Fruits, which is after Passover. That currently runs now up until May 31st, June 1st of this month. And so May is the feast of first, the time of the Feast of First Fruits. It actually runs for about 50 days after Passover. And this is this group. They have been found perfect before the Lord. All right? And they equal 144,000. One of the things that the Father first taught me back when I was starting was how there were two groups of 144,000. It wasn't just one, it was two. Because if you look at Revelation chapter 7 with the Israel group, the 12,000 from each tribe, they are given a stamp, a seal on their forehead. And their reward is that they serve the Father in the temple day and night from that point on. They're taken up after 1260 days, and their reward is that they serve the God, the Father, the Yahushua, in the temple from that point on. The other group has the Father's name written in their foreheads, and they follow Yahushua around, Jesus around, everywhere he goes. Two different groups, two different rewards. All right, so once you get over that, who are these people, who are these groups? Now, here's where they're at. And there followed another angel saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. This is in chapter 14. Now, if you look at the word Babylon is fallen, this is not the Babylon is destroyed of Revelation chapter 18. In chapter 18, you see the physical destruction of the land of Babylon. In chapter 14, you see that this group of people, 144,000, are the first redeemed off the earth. And while they are in heaven, Babylon falls. And if you look at the Strong's for the word fallen, to descend from a higher place to a lower, to fall under judgment, come under condemnation, to descend from an erect to a prostrate position, to fall down. In other words, Babylon loses its stature in the world. They are no longer a super nation. It is taken away from them. They are cast down from a state of prosperity and super nation, superpower status. They are removed from power. They become prostrate to the new world losers. New world rulers. They are losers. They descend from a higher place to a lower. They're cast down. While the new government of the world is being established, America becomes slaves to it and submissive to it. They are dominated by it. Revelation 14 describes the humiliating status falling of Babylon from a powerful nation to a prostrate nation, bowing down to the new global rulers. And this will continue for a short while until America is judged and completely destroyed in Revelation chapter 18. So this just gives you a picture, because I wanted people to see when this first group leaves. They leave before the falling of Babylon, before Babylon falls to its knees, has no more, loses all of its power and authority in the world. Now, you look at the great seal, the great earthquake of Revelation chapter 6. Revelation chapter 6 and the day of the Lord, the sixth seal, are both the same event. And I'll get into that. I've written articles on the sixth seal. And you can look at some of the things that happen on this day. It is a day of invasion, folks. And if you want to read about all the events of the sixth seal, read Joel 1 and 2. Alas for the day of the Lord is at hand, and as a destruction from the Almighty shall it come. The Most High refers to a particular time in the Scriptures as the day of the Lord. When is it? We're given a time frame in Joel. If you read through Joel, chapters 1 and 2, it's after the crops are planted and growing, and then they're laid to waste. So somewhere around the end of summer into the month of September. I know a lot of people getting onto the September bandwagon, and that could be absolutely correct. I'm not going to say it's not, because it's at the end of summer. The crops are wasting in the field when the day of the Lord begins. It's a cloudy day. It's a day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness. As the morning spread upon the mountains, a great people and a strong, huge people, giants, there hath not ever been the like, neither shall be any more after it, even to the years of many generations. They shall run like mighty men. Whenever you see the term mighty in the Bible, it's referring to giants, huge, strong people. When they fall upon the sword, they shall not be wounded. You can't kill them with physical weapons. It says, for a nation has come upon my land, strong and without number. And then it goes on that, which the palmer worm hath left the locust eaten. Talks about the locust, and the locust is another term for giants. Describes great fires and the heat that dry up the pastures and the rivers. The harvest in the fields are laid wasted and destroyed. They will eat humans. They will peel their flesh off all the way to their bones. Says, he hath laid my vine waste and barked my fig tree. He hath made it clean bare and cast it away. The branches thereof are made white. These people are eaten and killed. Says they're made white. They're taken to heaven and given white robes. Picture, if you can, a 20 to 30 foot giant, or even gangs of them eating people. How do you imagine people to be in their hands and mouths? The fig tree describes people, and the branches are the limbs that are laid bare and cast away. The remaining white bones are stripped of their flesh. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord, That's almost a warning. Describes what could be a solar eclipse and a blood moon, or something that happens to turn the sun dark. Isaiah declares in chapter 13, verse 4-13, the noise of a multitude in the mountains, like as a great people, there's another term for giants, a tumultuous noise of the kingdom of nations gathered together. They come from a far country, from the end of heaven. Not the end of earth, the end of heaven. Even the Lord and the weapons of his indignation to destroy the whole land, he is with them. They are his avengers. They destroy the whole land, earth. Howl ye, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come as a destruction from the Almighty. And they shall be afraid. Pangs and sorrows shall take hold of them. They shall be in pain as a woman that traileth. They shall be amazed one at another. Their faces shall be as flames. Behold, the day of the Lord come cruel with both wrath and fierce anger to lay the land desolate, and he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. For the stars of heaven and constellations thereof shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened and its going forth, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine. This is a time of darkness. And I will punish the world for their evil, and the wicked for their iniquity, and I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease, and will lay low the haughtiness. And it goes on into Malachi and Peter and Ezekiel, talking about how the day of the Lord is one of darkness, gloominess, the land is laid waste. The people coming from the end of heaven, a far country, these are the Nephilim from space, these giants that are going to be coming down. Because as you see, when the sixth seal earthquake hits the world, it starts with a bang, a huge earthquake, and heaven rolls back like a scroll. The wind is withheld from blowing. So the earth is going to be very gloomy, very hazy, very smoky. There's no wind. There's no wind to blow any of this smoke from the great earthquake away. And there's silence. There's just silence. Now, I asked the Lord about the silence in Revelation chapter 6 because the seventh seal indicates silence. And so what he told me was that it indicates a specific period of time. It's not a half hour. It's not an hour. There is a time of setup needed. Because immediately after the sixth seal, the stars of heaven fell into earth, even as a fig tree. Lucifer is cast out of heaven. And when he is cast out of heaven, those who are with him are cast down to the earth with him. And there are eons of different groups of aliens in space. And they're being cast down to earth with him. And many of them are giants. You know, the tall grays alone are 7 to 8, 9 feet. That's not even the other ones, the Nephilim that have been popping up in Afghanistan. Where do you think they're from? Their homes aren't an indigenous Earth. They're from space. You think Bigfoot's from Earth? No, he's the bear race in space. He's what, 9, 10 feet tall? Various different races of aliens in space, and they're giants. And they're being cast down to Earth with Lucifer. You can read Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12 takes place at that time at the sixth seal because Lucifer is cast down to Earth with all of his minions in space that are with him. They're all cast to Earth. Another thing that happens is the sealing of the 144,000 on Earth who are given a seal or a stamp in their forehead, who become evangelists on the Earth, and they will teach and prophesy and preach on Earth for 1,260 days. The same amount of time the two witnesses in Revelation chapter 11 appear. So I believe they're all going to appear together. That 144,000 are going to be sealed on Earth. The two witnesses are going to arrive. Satan is cast down from heaven. The woman, which is Israel, Revelation 12, flees into the wilderness where she is protected for 1,260 days. Now, some people take verse 5 in Revelation 12 as a rapture because the man-child is caught up. That is an already past event that is talking about Yahushua, who has already been caught up to heaven, sitting at the right hand of the Father. That's already a past event. Satan's angry with the woman itself that the man-child grows up out of, which is Israel. Now, Israel recognizes the signs, and Israel flees to the wilderness for protection, which is, we know, Petra, the great red rose city in Petra, which is Jordan. They're going to be going to Petra. That's going to take some time. Satan being cast down to earth with all of his minions. So there's a transition time here. There is a space of time. That's why it says silence. There's a silence. There's a space of time. There's a transition. There's a transition of sorts. Satan begins his war on the saints. Israel has fled to her place in the wilderness, which is Petra. He goes after them. He's held back because they're being protected. And he turns his focus on the rest of the remnant, which means he's coming after the Christians, in particular America and the European nations, the rest of the world. For them, it's what they call candle snuffing time. So you can see just what the sixth seal. You have the day of the Lord beginning, huge earthquake, Lucifer being cast out of heaven with all of his minions. You can read Revelation 12 to get a picture of what's happening. Revelation chapter 7 of what's happening, 144,000 sealed on earth. And so all this is taking place in this transition time between the seven seals and the seven trumpets. Because when you look at the tribulation period in totality, the seven seals and seven trumpets are the bulk of what the majority of the people in the world are going to experience. Most won't even realize much about the six seals, because these are the arrival of the horsemen. And they'll probably argue and tell you they're not who they are, and then blah, blah, blah. You won't even realize it. But no one will mistake the great earthquake of Revelation chapter 6, the sixth seal, and Satan, Lucifer, being cast out of heaven, because he's been up there in detainment. I've been saying that since last year. He's been up there in detainment, and he is going to be cast down, finally, cast down back to the earth. And all of his minions in space will be with him. And if you look at Joel chapter 1 and 2, the canker worms and all that, it describes various sizes of giants. Canker worms grow into locusts. Various sizes of maturity and stages of giants. Be very harrowing, folks. So while all these giants are roaming the earth, feasting off humans, there's the sealing of the 144,000 on earth. The two witnesses arrive and start their ministry on earth. And there's a transition time as Lucifer gets together with his horsemen, and they start to bring their regime on earth. So I want to focus most of our attention on the events before the Mark of the Beast enforcement, because that's where the bulk of the tribulation period is going to be, at the beginning and in the middle. Because after that point, after the candle snuffing time, it's just pure judgment, pure hell, and set up for the Battle of Armageddon at that point. And so the bulk of the revelation of tribulation is that the events that happen between the sixth seal and the sixth trumpet. Now, let's go to the seven trumpets. Because after the transitioning time, the period of transition, with Lucifer being cast to earth, giants running amok, is a time of thunderings, lightnings, and another earthquake to signal the beginning of the seven trumpets. The first trumpet is hail and fire mingled with blood cast onto the earth. A third of all trees and all green grass is burnt up. the term blood can be literal or metaphorical. Red tides, we've seen this red algae bloom invasions. Also an effect of Nibiru. I told you about the disasters Nibiru will cause. This is one of them, the red algae bloom invasion, turning the waters to blood. The second trumpet, a great mountain burning with fire, a huge asteroid, crashes into the sea, killing a third of the sea, killing a third of the creatures and a third part of the ships. Now, I believe this is going to take place over in the Asian Pacific. I believe that's the Indian Ocean over there by Indonesia, that area way over there in the Asian Pacific. The asteroid will strike there. The third trumpet, great star falls from heaven, as it were a lamp, a comet, and it falls upon a third part of the rivers, and the name of the star is called Wormwood, and a third part of the waters become Wormwood, which is bitter. This one is what I've been telling you about, which is the star Shima, planet Shima. It has been on fire for years. This was the home of Ashtar Command, the Galactic Federation, Lilith, all of them. That's where they've been living all these years, is in Shima. The Lord is going to cast it out of the sky into the Atlantic Ocean. And when he does so, Florida will fall. Florida will be destroyed. And probably other parts of the coastline to the Atlantic Ocean. The fourth trumpet, a third part of the sun is smitten, and a third part of the moon, and a third part of the stars spit into darkness, and there was no sun for a third part of the day, and no light of the moon for a third part of the night. Earth is getting darker and darker and darker. Now, if you read the fifth trumpet, which aligns with Revelation chapter 9, the star falls from heaven, and a key to the bottomless pit, releasing locusts upon the earth to torment mankind for 5 months, and their king was named Abaddon, Apollyon. Today, we would recognize that as Shiva, because Shiva, although CERN recognizes her as an Indian goddess, the term Shiva means destroyer, and it's the Shiva goddess, Hindu goddess, that they have as a statue at CERN headquarters in Switzerland, the Hindu goddess. She's a destroyer. But that's the way Abaddon, Apollyon, you have the key to the star, falls from the sky. And the bottomless pit, he releases the bottomless pit, locusts out of the pit, Revelation chapter 9, and they torment mankind for 5 months. That's the book of Revelation chapter 9. You're looking at almost 570 days of torment from demonic and alien creatures alone out of 1,260 days. So for almost a third of the time, from the time Lucifer arrives on Earth, these creatures are tormenting mankind. Meanwhile, people are living. It's not total anarchy. It is chaos. It will be. But people have to make a living. People have to try to survive. If you look at number 6, four angels bound to the Euphrates River shall let loose for 420 days to slay a third part of mankind and lead an army of 200 million. They spew fire and brimstone from their mouths. Revelation chapter 9, 13 to 21. That's a third of the time, almost 420 days. Oh, this time goes fast. I'll pick up where I left off next week. But we'll get into the trumpet judgments more, and I'll recap stuff because there's so much to reveal. We'll just consider this as part one and do a backup and keep going forward next week. Be back next Monday night at 9. Also have a show on Wednesday at noon and Friday this week at noon. So support your ministry on the planet, folks. Anyway, till Wednesday, God bless.
Mm-hmm.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.